Digging Deeper Without the Cold Face, the podcast that shares the incredible stories of the talented and passionate people in our industry. This episode of Digging Deeper Without the Cold Face is proudly sponsored by Aquaflow Hire, your trusted partners for dewatering and auxiliary equipment rentals. Aquaflow Hire is part of the TrueFlow Pumps family, solving heavy-duty dewatering problems around the world. And your host, Jessica Rouse.
Might have seen Peter Zoom Orem's story in Coalface up in Queensland. He's competed in a number of mines rescue competitions, become a volunteer ambulance officer, and he's encouraging others in the industry to put their hand up and join mines rescue as well. I'm very delighted to say he joins us on the podcast this morning. Peter, how are you?
Good today, thank you.
We're going to find out more about why you got the nickname Zoom a little bit later on in the episode. But I do want to set the scene a little bit and go back to your start in the mining industry. Take us back to when you started, where you started.
I haven't gone anywhere, actually. I started here in Middlemount and I've stayed in the wash plant the whole time. Seems a bit boring, but yeah.
Not at all. It's all actually nice to hear that because people move around so much, yeah. But to have the opportunity to stay in the same place, you'd see so much change over the years and see so many people come through. I think it would be quite interesting, actually.
Yeah. No, I just figured that another mine's another mine, another town. I've liked the town. I enjoy where I work. So yeah. I didn't feel any need to move anywhere. I've got the family here. I come home to them every day. So it's been a good thing for us, I feel.
Yeah, exactly. So how has your role changed? Has it changed over the years?
My role in mining, probably not so much. I'm working the wash plant as an operator.
Yeah.
And, I guess from the early days, we used to just do the basics, but now with multi-skilling and everything, it has changed in that way. We use machinery now. Do a whole bunch of other things like that we never used to do before.
Yeah, okay. And how long was it that you were working up there that you decided to join the mines rescue?
It would have been about 10 years. So I've been in the industry 40, been with mines rescue 30.
Yeah. And the mines rescue team wasn't just any mines rescue team. It was quite a successful one at the time.
Yeah, mines rescue comps back then were highly competitive and we had a really competitive team. They were pretty driven and, they won local competitions, they'd won state. The state team that wins goes to New South Wales. They'd won that competition and they went to the World Games in Western Australia and took that out. So, they were pretty good.
Cool. Yeah. And tell me about the comps. I've been to a couple down here in New South Wales. I think I've been to one where Queensland came down and a couple of the first aid comps and that sort of thing. It's always fascinating watching as a spectator, sometimes quite confronting as a spectator, to be honest. What was your first competition like?
The first competition that I ever saw, I was actually the spare person. They took me along to show me what it'd be like and I was just a spectator. And, I'd only been in mines rescue a couple of months. Basically, I was a casualty at training days. They'd come and rescue me, so I wasn't involved in the nuts and bolts of it. But to actually stand there and see the scenarios play out, and they're so realistic that it was, I just thought, my God, how am I ever going to be able to deal with this sort of thing? So it was very confronting and,
They're so realistic. I couldn't believe the first one I went to. Even the guys who are pretending to be the ones who need to be rescued from the makeup and the pretend injuries that they have and however the teams just snap into gear and, go about rescuing that person like it is a real-life scenario. It's amazing.
Yeah, it does. It's the closest thing you'll get to a real scenario, and especially if you do get the people, the actors doing the right thing. Actually, in New South Wales, we went down there in 96, and after you finish your scenario, the team gets debriefed.
Yeah.
And it was quite amusing because we didn't have that in Queensland, but the people that were the casualties, they were actually acting students, and they were getting debriefed by their drama teacher on how their performance went. So that was the standard it went to.
That's so funny. And it's interesting too, seeing, I guess, I'm not sure if you've seen it much from a spectator's point of view, but seeing how the different teams approach each scenario. Yeah. Like, some of them can be vastly different. Some of them are quite similar in the way that they approach them. That side of it is fascinating as well.
Yeah, well, there's no one way of doing things correctly. We've got a basic set of protocols that we follow. And depending on your team's skills and what they see in the situation, they can try it a different way. And that's a whole idea behind, is you attempt it one way. And when you come back and you have a look at it afterwards, you find out what you did well or what you didn't do so well. And then you can adapt as you go forward. It's a learning experience.
Yeah. What's the training like to be in Mines Rescue? And I guess, how has that changed over the last 30 years?
I think our training, the training group that we've got, they're highly professional. The trainers that we get sent to us are actually professionals out in the field, whether they be firefighters, previous ambulance officers or whatever. So we get pretty high standard training. I think a lot of the other mines will be very similar. In the old days, we used to train ourselves. We'd have our basic skills and then we train ourselves up. So the standard was still pretty good, but the techniques and the stuff we've got nowadays is way better than what we ever had.
Yeah. And you're captain now of your particular crew. How long have you been captain, and when did you sort of, I guess that's something you earn over the years?
We had a bit of a fall off for a little while. We didn't have many members, and then the company jumped in and built us back up again. So as we got new members in, I was a more senior person, so I took over that role of being in charge and promoting it with the people. So as the people have come through, yeah, the more experience they get, and then they can step up into that role to lead others.
Yeah. And it sounds like you've had the opportunity to travel being in Mines Rescue, as you mentioned, coming down even just to New South Wales to compete. Have you been elsewhere as well to compete?
No, I've only competed around Queensland a few times, and I was lucky enough to come down to New South Wales once. It was actually really good because they'd organised for us that the competition was on the Saturday, and we did Monday through Friday. We went to a different mine and we trained with the Mines Rescue team. So we actually got to see all the different mines, their rescue people, interact with them, get their ideas. So it was a really good experience.
Yeah. And have you got experience both underground and open cut? Is that something that's standard with Mines Rescue? You learn a bit of both?
No, they're completely separate entities.
Okay.
Mines Rescue and the open cut is vastly different to underground. But at the moment, we're actually starting to combine training with our underground brothers at Aquila.
Okay, yeah.
So we can give them extra skills in firefighting, first aid, because their situations are slightly different. So we're going to upskill them in our areas, and then in they get the skills, they can then assist us because we respond to their open cut, their open side, so they can then assist us in numbers, or if we have a big enough incident, they can respond and help us too. So yeah, there is going to be a bit of collaboration between the two undergrounds, between the two sites.
Yeah. I feel like that could only be a good thing. I mean, fortunately, we haven't seen really, really terrible incidents in recent years, but we did a pictorial recently on Deadly July in the magazine, and some of those incidents, you know, massive, like the scale of those and having to respond to them, I can't even imagine being in that situation.
Yeah, no, it's it can be very confronting. It is definitely a skill to be able to sort of compartmentalize, if you like, to be able to do your job and be able to deal with those situations. But again, it's all part of the training and all part of the development.
Yeah. Have you had to, obviously you don't have to go into specific examples, but have you had to use your Mines Rescue training in a real world scenario over the years, I imagine?
We've actually responded to a couple of incidents off-site that have happened out on the main road that we were the nearest point of call that we've responded and helped. So, yeah, we've done that. We have had incidents on site that we've responded to. Myself personally, I haven't. I've been lucky enough to not respond to any really, really bad ones. But yeah, they're definitely out there in the industry.
Oh yeah,
in the real world as well.
Exactly. And you mentioned, you know, responding to car accidents outside of the mine. That's one of the great things I think about Mines Rescue, is when you're in one of those regional areas, or, you know, help from, you know, state ambulance service or something might be further away than you are, to have that skill set to be able to respond is a great thing for the local community where the mines are.
Oh, definitely. It's they benefit each other. So we have our Mines Rescue members that have skills on site. A lot of people have found with rescue that they enjoy it, and they'll actually join the local emergency services. We have people in the firefighters. Yeah. I've worked with the Queensland Ambulance before. So the skills that you learn on site help you transfer to the community. So there is that benefit that way. And then also you do tend to get more work off-site. So all that extra work that they get off-site then upskills them for when, if something happens on site, then they're in a better situation to respond, and it's a better outcome that way. So it definitely works both ways between the mine and the community.
Mm. Are there any, from over the years, over the competitions that you've been to, is there a particularly challenging scenario that sticks with you?
I thought the one I mentioned in the paper, the first one that I ever saw, just to watch, I mentioned that there was a workshop. Everyone was just standing around watching as we were spectators, and there was just a workshop and people there. And it was just like, go. And there was yelling and screaming. There was flames. There was grinders going. There was people yelling and screaming, fake blood. And the team had to walk into this. And as I walked in, the assessors grabbed the captain and said, "You've just had a heart attack. You can lay down there." So they had to treat their own person as well as deal with all this situation. That was pretty memorable. And we had another one in New South Wales where, because down there's so many teams, you do side by side. There was three teams side by side, and we're all standing there looking at a paddock. And like, what's going on? We don't know. And all of a sudden there was this big bang. And the simulation was that a mortar had gone off, and all of a sudden these army people jumped up out of the grass and started yelling and screaming. We had to run into the paddock to try and deal with that. It was, yeah, no, that stands out quite a lot.
I guess expect the unexpected.
Exactly.
So where did the nickname Zoom come from?
That's sarcasm. So you know how they call a redhead blue?
I've
always been the laid back one, never rush around, never get too excited. It was okay, all right, no worries, just trottle on over to what I need to do. So yeah, sarcasm.
I feel like that's a good skill set to have in Mines Rescue, is to have that chill, calm, you know, not get too worked up or overwhelmed, which I meant would be very easy to do, but to stay calm in those situations would definitely be more helpful.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know whether I've got a benefit with people or not, but when the chaos erupts, be able to take a breath and look around before you jump in, it's definitely helps.
Yeah, exactly. I guess obviously over the years Mines Rescue has changed, and looking forward I guess it will too, and your training as well, as we see more technology come into play and more automation and that sort of thing. I guess, does that change some of the training that you have to do? Because I imagine, you know, a truck that is driving itself at a mine site has a whole other set of risks and things at play if something happens. Like, do you have to learn about all of that stuff? That makes sense to be able to respond?
We generally get a bit of information on equipment, say like electric vehicles and all that. We have to have additional training to understand the hazards involved in that. With technology going forward, but we've just recently started getting into drones. So we've actually had some members get some drone training. So when we respond to an incident, we normally have to go and identify what's going on and check all the hazards out and come up with a plan to how we're going to manage it. So with a drone, we can actually throw that into the danger zone without putting anyone at risk, so that we can identify the best plan of attack and the best way not to put people at risk while we're doing it. So,
how's the team, the Mines Rescue team, going this year at the moment? What have you recently competed in? Where are you up to?
We were going to compete last year, but it fell through. We couldn't get people interested. Yep. We've got actually had a women's team together.
Oh,
they
cool.
They put themselves. They never got to compete, but I'm sure going forward, when we get to other competitions, that'll be a thing. So, good to see the girls stepping up, showing that they're just as good as everyone else, and that they definitely are a good part of our team. It's funny, the women have more empathy in general, so they can relate with the casualty and the people around them. So it actually adds a different element, different flavour to the response. So
definitely. And do you see yourself sticking around with Mines Rescue for a bit longer?
Yeah. I think I'll hang around a little bit. It's been quite enjoyable. It's a little bit harder physically as you get older, but while I'm still enjoying it and still capable, I have my son in the rescue team, so, and he's on the same shift as I am, so it's good to work side by side with him.
Yeah, and it's literally a family affair.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so I've got my son who's driving graders at the moment. He's in rescue beside me. I've got the wife, she drives trucks at the moment, so it actually adds a little bit more to the rescue side of things too, because you've got family and friends out there that you can respond to. And my younger son's at a different mine site. He's just graduated from Monash Uni, but before he decides what he wants to do with his life, he's getting a bit of money together. So it's a little bit of a family affair in the mining game.
So did you meet your wife on site?
No. I actually met her, I'm from Middlemount, she's from Thierry. I actually met her at Thierry. In the pub car park in more places.
There you go. What would you say to anyone, like your son who's young and isn't a part of Mines Rescue? Why would you encourage people to be a part of the Mines Rescue at their site?
There's so many benefits besides the skills that you gain that, again, in the outside world, as you were saying before, that if something happens that you're able to react, to be able to deal with the situation and to help, it really does make you a better person. It gives you good leadership skills in critical situations. It builds confidence. It's just a wonderful thing that you will develop as a person as you go through the rescue, and it every facet of your life, you'll change. Even the mentality. So in rescue, we have a closer bond. I think you find with emergency services, I've noticed it in the underground and with the rescue teams, because I think people are in those high-stress situations, they have to depend on each other. So it actually develops a different spirit and a family.
Yeah.
Situation. You still argue, but you're a lot tighter.
Just like a family.
Just like a family. So, there are so many things that I've got out of rescue over the years. And to be honest, as much as I've done it for so long, I still feel that I've got more out of it than I've ever put in, to be honest. So,
That's awesome. That's so good to hear. It's so nice to see I assume it's the case up in Queensland most of the time, but to see so many teams competing and being a part of their Mines Rescue is great to see.
Oh, God, yeah. It can only benefit. It benefits the industry. It benefits the mine sites.
Exactly.
It's fantastic.
That's awesome. Well, Zoom, thank you so much for joining us on this episode.
Just before we go, could I do a shout-out, please?
Of course you can.
I'd like to shout-out to Kiri. She is our rescue coordinator. So where we are at the moment, we're in a pretty pretty strong place with our rescue and our teams and our training, everything. And there is so much of it comes from Kiri. The company provides us with the opportunities and the equipment and the time to do it. Kiri's that driving force behind it. And when she came along, we just went along as we were just doing rescue. Kiri's actually the force, the backbone, the drive behind us. She's pushed everything so far to get us to the levels we are, the people with the equipment, with the everything. So a massive shout out to Kiri that we would not be in the situation we are at the moment. So thank you very much, Kiri, for everything, and everyone appreciates what you do for us.
Well, thank you for joining us for this episode of Digging Deeper with At The Coalface. You can download more episodes of the podcast on all your favorite podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, also on YouTube, Amazon Music, all the usual places. Make sure you leave us a rating and a review. We'd love to hear what you thought. And if you do have a story idea or something you'd like us to talk about on the podcast, please send me an email, jess@thecoalface.net.au. I'd love to hear from you. And we'll be back next time for another episode of Digging Deeper with At The Coalface.